Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Parent Hub Live. I'm your host, Dr. Mike Robinson. Parent Hub Live is sponsored by Force of the Rain Productions and Living Education E-Magazine. Before I tell you anything about tonight's show, we have our Living Education E-News brief, E-News Today brief, so stay tuned.
Hello, and welcome to Living Education E-News Today, sponsored by Force of the Rain Productions. I'm your chief correspondent, Neil C. Crawford. The mission of Force of the Rain Productions is to expand awareness of issues in education, fair housing, academic research, enterprise, and business relevant to all Americans by providing a pathway for scholars and practitioners who are seldom heard. Today in Living Education News, Force of the Rain Productions recently announced it will highlight the work of authors on its website in the Author's Corner. The Author's Corner will allow the writers to share their inspirations with readers via audio clip while also providing a written overview of their book. You can visit the Author's Corner at forestoftherain.net. Just added to the Author's Corner, Congratulations, Graduate, Now What? Written by Denise Fawcett Facey. Congratulations, Graduate, Now What? Is written for the recent graduate and those who have graduated in the last few years. The author poses the question, what's next for them after achieving such a wonderful milestone? This book knows that figuring out life can be difficult and poses some interesting and effective answers. Living Education eFocus News, hosted by Michelle Davis Robinson, kicks off its second season with interviews from leading educators, community leaders, researchers, and artists. You can hear Living Education eFocus by visiting forestoftherain.net and clicking the eFocus tab. Coming up on Living Education eFocus, Dr. Marcia G. Welsh, President of Stroudberg University of Pennsylvania. Dr. Welsh and host Michelle Davis Robinson will explore the high cost of college education and how Stroudberg University is working to keep costs down for its students. Usul Arubayil, educator in residence, design co-founder, and Huffington Post contributor. She will discuss the importance of the student voice in the classroom. Jim Fullerton, academic life coach, and host Michelle Davis Robinson, will talk about what makes a successful team. This week on the R Blog, Your Voice page, read Dr. Bruce Johnson's post, How Students Learn to Communicate Well with Instructors. You can find it at forestoftherain.net/rblogyourvoice. You can follow Force of the Rain on Twitter at A Natural Bridge or on Facebook at Force of the Rain. I'm your chief correspondent, Miyoshi Crawford. I want to thank you for listening to Living Education E-News Today.
Hello and welcome back to Parent Talk Live. I'm your host, Dr. Mike Robinson. If you'd like to join our conversation today, and I'm sure you will, the dial-in number is 516-590-0352. Those who have followed me over the last 6, 7, 8 years, you know one thing for sure about me. I am passionate about the subject of parental involvement, parental engagement. You know that is a subject matter that I focus on quite a bit, and it was the impetus behind creating Parent Talk Live. Tonight's show brings two things that are important to my life together, my faith and my Lord and Savior, and the conversation about parental engagement. We have a special guest tonight, a remarkable young lady. She's a remarkable woman, a mother and a wife. Joining me tonight will be Mrs. Tamara Wallace Norman. And if I pronounce anything wrong with her name, trust me, this young lady would more than tell me. I'm the producer tonight as well as the radio show host, so I'm having a little difficulty. Let me tell you a little bit about Tamara Wallace Norman. She's a native of Dayton, Ohio. She's a wife, a mother, and an avid roller skater. Tamara is also a breast cancer survivor. She was diagnosed in December 2011. At that time, her son Zion was 6 years old and in the first grade. He was also in his second year of attending an Emerging Language Academy where he was studying Mandarin. During Tamara's cancer journey, she took a break from her 20-year career as a flight attendant in order to focus on treatment and supporting her son's education. Her approach to dealing with life has always been to incorporate with her faith two attributes, resiliency and steadfastness. She has seen the effects of this positive approach to life play out in her ability to remain cancer-free for 3 years and in her role as a mother, helping her son to excel in his studies. Whether flying, gliding across the hardwood, or writing about her passion for roller skating, and you can find out more about her passion by visiting www.laceandwheels.com, and we'll repeat that by the end of the show. Tamara's zest for life is most apparent. She currently resides in Charlotte, North Carolina, with her husband, Jerron, and her son, Zion. Let's welcome Tamara. Tamara, are you there?
Thank you. Yes, Dr. Robinson. How are you this evening?
I'm blessed and highly favored in yourself.
I am wonderful. I am wonderful this evening. Thanks for having me on your show.
No, the pleasure and honor is mine for you to come on your show to take time away from your family. I know you're on the road in a sense as you're out west, but thank you for taking time on this special Sunday, the Resurrection Sunday of our Lord and Savior, to spend time talking about your faith, your resiliency, and how that impacted your ability to be involved in your child's academic life.
Yes, yes.
Well, as we always do, Tamara, and I want to make sure people know they can definitely call in and join the conversation by calling 516-590-0352. And when you do so, press 1. That puts you in queue, so it lets me know, I'm your host, I need to know, that you have a question or comment about the show or a question for our guest or just some comments or something you'd like to share as far as your testimony about faith and resiliency. Tamara, one thing that we do on this show, and I think we do it better than a lot of shows, is that we make sure the guest voice is heard. I ask questions, but the most important reason people tune into the show is because they want to hear the passion and the voices of our guests. So I definitely want to spend a lot of time monopolizing the conversation, but I do want people to talk hear a little bit more about you that I may have missed in that introduction. So tell us a little bit about you and also and then kind of segue into your story as a breast cancer survivor.
And foremost, Dr. Robinson, you gave me a great introduction, so I do appreciate that. I am a breast cancer survivor. I am actually entering into my third year of survivorship. I was diagnosed in December of 2011, and I was 40 years old, so I was about to turn 41 in January of 2012. So I received that diagnosis during a regular annual exam. I'm always up on my health. I'm pretty healthy. You know, I can do better, as we all probably can, but I am basically a very healthy person, and I'm staying tuned with what I need to do health-wise. So I was just doing my regular checkup, and my gynecologist found the lump. And from that point on, you know, I had to get a diagnostic mammogram. I went on to get a biopsy. And unfortunately, you know, it came back with the diagnosis of stage 2 breast cancer. So I was given that diagnosis during the time when my son was in the first grade. He was 6 years old. I had been married at that point 7 years. And, you know, when you hear that word, it is a blow. But immediately I thought, you know, I have to fight because I have a son that's in the first grade. I'm married. And let's do this. So I think my attitude with it, even though it's such a devastating thing to hear, you know, my faith, I said, I'm going to fight this. And, you know, along with my faith and my creator and just my steadfastness in this, because I had a pretty long journey to go through. I had chemotherapy. I had to have a unilateral mastectomy. I had 6 weeks of radiation, and I also went through a six to eight week recovery for the deep, it's called the deep flap procedure. I had a natural breast reconstruction on the right side of my breast, so I had to undergo quite a bit. But through it all, you know, I tried to be as honest as I could with my son, with not trying to overwhelm him. You know, I let him know that mommy had some things that were going on in her body, you know, that doctors were going to help her with, and I was going to fight. And I was volunteering up at the school. I continued to volunteer up at his school. You know, I tried to be as inconspicuous as I could as far as with my exterior changing. And I do believe, you know, like I said, with my faith and my positive attitude, a lot of people didn't even know, Dr. Robinson, that I was going through this journey because of my disposition and my upbeatness.
Well, we appreciate it, and we're blessed to have you share your testimony with us tonight and with our audience. And those who want to share their testimony or want to talk about, you know, their faith, their resiliency, or even have a question for, I guess, Tamara Wallace Norman, please do so by dialing 516-590-3052. And if you missed the show, you come in late, or you want to just get the rebroadcast of it, you can visit our website, www.thoughtsoftherain.net. Click on the link that says Co-CEO. Underneath that link, you'll find Parent Talk Live, and today's episode will be there. Tim, before I talk a little bit and go into your definition, because, you know, you and I spoke a little bit off script, off the show,
yes,
before we actually had this conversation tonight. And so I wanted to get your definition of parental involvement, parental engagement. But before I do that, one thing I did not ask you, and I certainly want to give you the opportunity to do so now, talk about the support that you get. And we'll talk a little bit about that for faith and how the resiliency actually played out for you. But talk a little bit about your husband, Jerron, and how he supported you during this journey. And I know it was a tough journey for him and for all your family, but, you know, but share and how this brother was there for you and supported you through this process.
Absolutely, absolutely. One of the wonderful things about it is that my husband and I, at that juncture, we had already been married for 7 years, but we had been together for like 10 years. So we had, you know, we have really good communication skills already. I mean, I'm not trying to say everything is perfect. Nobody's relationship is totally perfect, but we definitely have a wonderful foundation. He was so supportive, Dr. Robinson. I could not have asked for a more supportive and attentive husband than what I received or who I have in my life. And I'm so blessed and so thankful to have him. He was a wonderful caretaker. He had to switch from being my husband almost to my caretaker. Even though I was moving through this, you know, with minimal sickness, as far as, you know, I didn't have a lot of nausea. I didn't have a lot of, like, moments of where I was just totally in a depressed mode. Of course, I had blue moments and blue days. That's what I call them. You know, I wasn't, like, in the bed a lot, but I was weak, you know, and fatigued through some of the process of the chemotherapy. And he was always there to assist me with cooking and helping with Zion, that's my son's name, and, you know, pick him up from school and just being there at my appointments and just listening to me. But one of the things he told me, he says, because of the way that you act and the way that you have carried yourself and you present yourself, it kept him strong. He said, if I would have probably wavered or I would not have been so strong, he doesn't know if he could have been as strong, you know, during this journey. I don't know, you know, I hear him, but he stayed very, very, very strong and it was wonderful to lean on during that time. And it is major to see your spouse or your loved one go through such a traumatic transformation. And I have to say, I did. I went through a traumatic transformation. I know looks are not everything, and I like to keep everything real. You know, I wasn't looking the way that I looked, you know, to him all those years, you know, to go hairless, you're bald, you're missing a body part that you've had ever since you were in puberty and has grown into an adult, and then having to get reconstruction. That's a lot. That's a lot on your mental, a lot on your psyche. But I have to say, through it all, he was a rock for me, a rock. And I'm so very thankful and blessed to have him in my world and to have had him during that journey. And it helped me to move through well as well.
That's wonderful to hear. And while I hope Jerron's check is in the mail because he asked me. No, I'm just kidding. He didn't ask me to ask that question. But I knew that in order for you to move forward the way you did, God put some people around you in your life to give you that support, and I knew a strong and supportive husband was definitely one of those pieces that God put in. So now we have a basis for you know your life, and how you survived through cancer and continue to do wonderful things in your life and with your family. Let's talk a little bit about what both our passion, which is being involved in our lives of our children, particularly around academics. So what I ask all people who come on my show and we talk about this subject is to define what that means to you, or how you exhibit parental involvement or engagement. How do you define that?
Well, basically, to be honest, it was instilled in me in my youth as well. I'm an only child. My son Zion is an only child. My mom and dad were very, very involved in every aspect of my childhood rearing, all through school. All I remember and know is my mom had always, you know, with me, spelling bees, you know, encouraging me to do extracurricular activities in school along with excelling in academics. C was average, no C's around here. You know, she didn't, like, put a whip to me, but, you know, I definitely knew how important education was, and I excelled academically in school. So I knew when I had a child or I had children, I was going to instill that in them. And one of the things that my son is in, he goes to a language immersion school. Now, when I was in school, high school and even college, I took a language. I took French. But I knew when I had children, I wanted them to elevate, because that is the objective. I think if we procreate, we have children, each generation needs to elevate. So I was like, you know, if it's a way that my son, my husband and I said, if it's a way that he can be fluent, let's do that. You know, and the opportunity presented itself when we moved to Charlotte. And I was researching different schools for my son while he was still in preschool, because I wanted him to kind of have a kind of like a non-traditional type of format or road to education other than different from mine. So I saw that they had a language academy, and I put my son's name into a drawing, and you know, we were very blessed that his name was selected, and the program that we selected was Chinese. I'm going to be honest, Dr. Robinson, I knew that it was something that was going to be a gift for him, but I didn't know how phenomenal of a gift it was until I actually started volunteering and seeing these children engaged and being so uninhibited in learning these languages, because the school that he goes to, you can learn Mandarin, German, French, or Japanese, and you are totally immersed in it from K through eighth. So it is just amazing. And when I was going through my journey, I wanted to make sure that my son, as much as possible, would not be, quote-unquote, affected, you know, so much in his world of academia. So I made sure that I let his teachers know, you know, that I was going through what I was going through. And my kid never slipped in his grades. He just trooped on through.
And so basically one of the things, a lot of things I heard coming out of that response, but one of the things that resonated the most with me was what you said, the last thing you said, which was that you communicated with your child's teacher and inform them of the things that were happening in your life and how
that's right. And
I'm sure that supported him in the classroom, because now the teacher understands that what's going on home in a positive way of understanding, and now he's surrounded by the support system. You know, and we understand that communication between home and school, school and home, is so important, and I think you just resonated the importance in this statement. You know, part of this conversation, which is really, really touching, is the fact that it's grounded in faith and your resiliency, and you talked openly about that to me before we had our conversation tonight. So tonight, if you can maybe share again, if you may have touched on it earlier, feel free to touch on it again. Talk about your faith and how that faith supported your effort to be involved in your children's, in your child's life academically. And then from there, move on to your resiliency and how that resiliency, how you were able to, after your therapy, after your treatment, get up and go to those volunteer meetings and do those things. Talk a little bit about both of those for us, if you wouldn't mind.
Sure. You know, my faith is very strong, and I believe definitely that is a major component in how I got through this journey. You know, people ask me along the way, you know, are you mad? Are you resentful? No, I'm not. You know, I would sit and I would ask, you know, God, or have conversations, you know, what is it that you want me to do? What is it that I'm needing to get from this? And, you know, it's not like it appeared to me immediately, but I was always open to listening and open to whatever it was. And as with my child, I knew that I had to be in a state of calm, you know, in the midst of the storm, for him to be able to be in much of a normalcy as he could, as he was watching mommy transform, because I did. And I made sure, I told him, when I come up to your school, I am going to keep my scarf on. You don't have to worry about mom exposing, you know, her bald head. But after a while, he became very comfortable, Dr. Robinson, in a way, with all the treatments that I was going through when I would pick him up. As a matter of fact, sometimes when I would pick him up from after school, he would say, Mom, did you go to radiation today? And he would say that like you would ask your mom, did she go to the supermarket that day? So it became kind of like a normal for him, even though he knew it was something different. It was kind of normal, because I wanted him to still be able to excel at school. I wanted him to know that mommy was going to be there in the capacity that she had been. I wanted him to have the same type of confidence going into school, knowing that I'm going to show up, and that just builds his confidence, even in the midst of this unusual tragedy that's happening at home. He still had a sense of normalcy going on in the midst of this. I kind of say I was like the center of like a tornado that was kind of swirling around, but trying to make a calmness come in our world. And that's all comes through my faith. And, you know, what I believe, I never forget when the doctor called me to tell me that I had cancerous cells on my right breast, and I said immediately, what do we need to do? What's the next step? She says, unfortunately, she said, this is part of my job and this is what I do, but your statement alone lets me know that you're going to be okay. I said, I can't do nothing but be okay. I can't. So that's kind of like the attitude I've had throughout. And as far as like resiliency, to me, a lot of the resiliency that I have comes from my close relationships with my family and with my friends. You know, I have a positive outlook of myself, and not so much looking at myself as being a victim. This is just something that happened to me, and I have to acknowledge it and move along. And I think there's always a positive that you can find in any tragedy or any discomfort or anything that comes along. You just have to be open, and you have to be willing to sit back and try to figure out what it is. I'm not trying to say it's a total walk in the park. You definitely have days where, you know, you, like I said, have blue days, but you pull yourself out of that. You acknowledge it and you move on. And that's how I tell my son, you know, when he's in school, if you're not having a good day today or if it didn't work out the way you think it is, that's okay. Tomorrow is a better day. Or we're not perfect beings, and things happen and things can go awry and we just move on to the next day. And that's basically how I have looked at my journey through this whole process and how I think about it with the involvement of my son and keeping him on track at school, because I know how important, you know, that is. And I'm very thankful that, you know, I didn't have to address any type of grade drop itch or behavior issues at school because of it, because I think Zion knows just how much he's loved and how much attention we pay to him. And I think that is one of the things that got him through, too, with seeing me go to the hospital and being at the hospital. And, you know, he had a lot to see.
To join our discussion tonight with breast cancer survivor Tamara Wallace-Norman, please dial in at 516-590-3052. We'd love to hear from you. I'm sure she would love to hear from you. And at the end of the show, she's going to let you know how you can reach out to her about her passion for skating, which we'll talk a little bit about, as well as, you know, her resiliency and faith and how that supported her being involved in her child's life. Tamara, you made a great segue into one of the questions. Imagine you kind of answered the question before I even asked, but, you know, that's okay. I give you that. That's okay. We won't hold it against you, but I just circle back and ask it anyway. You know, your son obviously saw a lot. And I'm sure it was without a doubt a stressful time for everyone who loved and cared about you, and to understand that what you were going through, and for your son not to struggle academically speaks to a lot of things. What, again, do you think kept him, allowed him to excel academically during this time with your bout with breast cancer?
You know, Dr. Robinson, I, like I said a little earlier, I like to attribute it to my positive disposition. You know, my son never saw me in a state of despair, other than the time that he would have to come to the hospital and see me in a hospital bed. You know, that was something, a picture I know he wasn't accustomed to. But when I was at home, I would pull up all I could as far as energy-wise during the hours that he was awake in order to be as normal as possible and to still stay involved in checking homework or, you know, asking him about school or if I felt up to it, picking him up from school. So even though I was going through those things and he saw me looking different, I think my involvement still gave him, you know, the confidence, and he wasn't afraid. Now, I do have one thing I will share. When I first lost all my hair, that did scare him, and he did not want to see me, you know, without a scarf or a hat. But one particular day, we were in the kitchen, and the chemo was really affecting me, and I was really getting hot flashes. And one of the things that I tell Zion, and one of the things that Jerron and I, you know, like, talk to him about is being comfortable. And, you know, at home, you can be yourself. You know, that's where you can be most comfortable. You can be yourself. So I wasn't being comfortable. So I told him, I said, Mommy needs to feel comfortable, and I have been respectful of you. And I know you're afraid to see me without my hair, but I'm going to faint. And so I'm going to need to take it off. So long and short, I took it off. I said, but just talk to the back of my head first, you know, and then, you know, we can work up to me turning around. And my little kid on his own, Dr. Robinson, he says, Mommy, I'm going to count to 10. And when I get to 10, you can turn around. That was his own mind thinking that. And I turned around, and my little kid's eyes got so big, and they welled up, but the teardrop never dropped. But he came over to me, and he kissed me on my head. He said, Mom, you are so beautiful. And that, it just took my heart away. It just took my heart, because he understood it in his own little way. And from that point on, we were good. I said, I won't come up to your school until with my head like this until my hair starts to grow back like you and Daddy's. And when it starts to do that, I'm going to take the scarf off and I'm going to come up there like that. And he said, that's fine. So we just, that, you know, I just think just being open and deciding whatever age your kid is, what they can process,
another great segue to my next question. You talked about openness and being open communication and being honest. Let's talk about a conversation that you and I had off the air and we were setting up this interview for today. You mentioned various reactions you received when you posted a picture of yourself on Facebook without hair. What were the kind of responses that you get, and how or to what extent did those responses serve to keep you moving forward?
You know what, Dr. Robinson, I don't have a problem sharing my story, and if you talk to me or if you were around me, I told you that I had cancer. You know, now that we have social media, you can put everything out there instantaneously. I had chosen not to do that as when I first got my diagnosis. So when I put that picture out, I had already been pretty much through all of my treatment with the exception of the reconstructive surgery. So I had made it through chemo, the surgery, and radiation. So I decided I'm just going to put this picture out there. That picture warranted so many likes, and I took that picture during a time where I was still in treatment. People thought I was making a set. I was being fashionable. Did you cut all your hair out? People didn't know. That in itself did make me feel good because it let me know that even though I was sick because all the things that were going on, that was poison in my body, but I still was able to emit a shine that people didn't know. I knew, and people super, super close to me, you know, when you're going through that, you have a look on you that is not as shiny or as glowing as you normally do. You do. But it made me feel good, and it just helped me to continue moving toward my path and trying to understand what it is that I can do and how I could give back.
Let's go back a little bit to talk about your son's academic performance. One thing you mentioned to me was recently he was in a competition, a language competition. Talk about his success in that competition.
Zion, he didn't want to do it, but, you know, as a parent, your kids don't want to do certain things, but you talk them up how wonderful it's going to be and what kind of great experience this is going to, right? It's going to be great. And, you know, you're going to be able to stand up and you're going to be so proud of yourself. And so I had to get him going. And I have to be honest, Dr. Robinson, my little kid, he even got really emotional because he's very sensitive too at times. He's like, Mom, I'm not sure if I want to do this or not. I said, Zion, you are an African-American little boy. I said, who knows Mandarin? I said, that is speaking volumes in itself. I said, this is going to be something, whether you win or whether you lose, it will be an invaluable experience for you. So once I got him through that, he started to practice. He had to practice with a couple of his teachers at school. He had to write a speech, and he had to memorize it. It was a 3 to 5 minute speech that he wrote himself, and he had to memorize it and say it in front of a panel of judges. He went to North Carolina State University and at the Confucius Institute, and my little kid placed second in the competition. Now, you could be any age, but he happened to have been 9 at the time. But he competed with kids that were 18, that were in high school, and I think there were a couple of kids in college. It just depended on how advanced you were. And he came in second place, and he also got an award for stage charisma.
Here you go, Zion. Yeah. Congratulations, young man.
Yes.
And so that speaks to our conversation about the involvement parents have, and obviously – the involvement of you and your husband and those surrounding him who believe the importance of academics, it actually resonated through his performance in that competition, but academically every day at school. So I wanted you to share that with our audience.
Yes.
I'm your host, Dr. Michael Robinson. This Parent Talk Live, we're talking about two of my passions with Tamara Wallace Norman, which is faith and parental involvement. And she's been sharing her story and how, despite the traumatic challenge that her life had undergone, she still was involved in her child's life academically. We would love your comments. I see a lot of people on the board. You're welcome to click in if you like. Area code is 516-590-3052. We have a few minutes left, and you're welcome to call in and ask a question, make a comment. I don't want to leave our conversation tonight without talking about another one of your passions, and that is skating. Share how that particular love you have is allowing you to give back and make a difference in the lives of others.
Well, you know, I am an avid roller skater. I have been roller skating for basically 40 years. I started when I was 3, and I've been skating ever since. And, you know, when you go through something like a severe health issue or any type of severe or a devastating, like, life-altering event, I think for me it gives you an opportunity to kind of step back and kind of refocus or kind of reprioritize yourself. At least that's the way I decided for myself. And one of the things that I said, and one of the things that Jerron and I, that's my husband, we have this ongoing conversation, and this was even before I had the cancer bout. He said, what is it that you would do every day that you would love to do? What would you love to do every day if you could do it? And it doesn't matter what it is. And I always say roller skating. I would love to roller skate like every day. So, you know, they say if you find something that you like to do, see if you possibly can get paid for it. So I started thinking about, you know, I would like to open up a skating rink eventually. That was what I started saying to myself. But, you know, like I said, I had been having conversations with God and like, what is it that you want me to do? So through me being so adamant about my passion for roller skating, I started a blog about roller skating, and the blog led to an opportunity to write an article for this fitness magazine talking about how roller skating assists you in caloric burn and how it works all the muscles in your body, and it's just a great cardio workout. From that opportunity spun an event that I was a part of called Energize. It was a workshop, and it was a workshop that concentrated on the themes of being authentic, being audacious, and being awake. And I spoke on being authentic, and it's just been such a blessing. On, you know, through this travesty, that I've been able to communicate and talk to different people on different levels, but kind of circling around the same topic of the breast cancer. The breast cancer has enabled me to speak to a group of people who were in the arena of wanting self-help. And so I talked about authenticity. You are allowing me the opportunity to talk to people who are involved in parental involvement in education, and that being a highlight. And this is allowing me to come into that particular genre. And also I'm going to have an opportunity in August to speak to a group of teenage girls and show them that, you know, when you are young, you think that it's going to happen to you. You think you're invincible. But to see me and to hear my story, it will open your eyes, because if you look at me and see me today, you would never think in a million years that I've been through what I've been through. But it's real, and it's just through my resiliency and my faith, I moved through that. And I'm just thankful that I am getting the opportunity to speak, you know, to people and share my story. And if it encourages, if it, you know, sparks an idea, then, you know, it's a blessing. I'm just happy that I'm becoming a vessel to be able to, you know, to put that out there.
Let's talk about those words of encouragement. If we wrap up our interview tonight, our conversation tonight, I wouldn't call it an interview, more a conversation, and it's a great opportunity to hear your story and how it has, you know, your story, how you turned it around to make it mean more than just that particular episode in your life. But share, talk about or offer some words of encouragement for women, other women, mothers, particularly moms, who may be undergoing something similar to what you experienced. And what words of encouragement can you give them to help them move forward and fight this and win this fight? You know,
What can you share with them? You know, first of all, the title of your program, of this segment, you know, with faith and resiliency, you got to have faith and you have to have resiliency when you are faced with something like this. Another word that I use is steadfastness. You have to stay present in the moment, fighting. You know, no one is saying that this is not a travesty. It is. But it's how you get through it. You know, if you are blessed to have a support of family and friends to pull from and to draw from, allow them to be there for you. Also, like I said earlier, allow yourself to, like I call it, manage your feelings. If you're mad, be mad. It's okay. If you are frustrated, be frustrated. If you're sad, be sad. Be all those things, but then move on. Move on so you can begin to heal, because you have to heal. And your mind plays a major role in fighting and conquering this. You know, I don't want to discredit or make certain people's diagnoses are more severe than others. You know, I had stage 2 breast cancer. Sometimes, you know, you may feel like you have, you know, if you've had 3 or 4, but you still have your mind state. And that is powerful. It is very powerful in conjunction with your faith. And I never forget, my mom came to a couple of my chemo therapy sessions, and my oncologist looked over at her, not where I could hear it, but she shared with me this later. He said to her, "Is your daughter for real? Like, is she real?" And my mom said, "What do you mean?" He says, "You know, people come in here a lot of times trying to put on a good face and be positive, and then they come crashing and burning because it's a lot." And my mom said, "This is who she is. And if she is feeling a down way, she will do that. This is not a fake. This is not." So I say, be real, but don't try to act like you're this if you're not. But just continue to move on a steady path and just stay positive despite the tragedy. Stay positive despite the tragedy.
I think those are powerful words of encouragement, and certainly hope that they reach the ears of anyone who may be struggling with the fight against cancer or any disease that threatens their life or their well-being, and hopefully hearing how you took on the fight, how you knuckled up and said, "This is what you're going to do, and you're going to be here for your son." Hopefully those words echo in the hearts and soul of others who are listening to us today, or who may catch a rebroadcast by just visiting our website. Tamara, I can't really say, in a lot of words, how I feel about you coming on Parent Talk Live and sharing your story and your openness. And the fact of the matter that you shared more off script than you did on script, so people really have no idea to a lot of things, you know, how long you were out and out of work and all the support you got. And I think it's wonderful that you are taking this to the fight and you're trying to help others. But there are a lot of people who are going to want to reach out to you, or who are not going to call into the show, who are not going to want to reach out to me to reach out to you. How can they reach out to you directly? Is there any contact information you're open to share with those who want to reach out to you and talk about what's going on with them or how they can support your passion for skating and how they support others?
Absolutely, absolutely. I have an email, and it is lacesandwheels@gmail.com. That's laces, L-A-C-E-S, N-A-N-D, wheels@gmail.com. Also, I have a blog, and that blog was mentioned, you mentioned it earlier, but it's www.lacesandwheels.com, and you can leave comments there as well. And I just want to share this. I do have a YouTube video out there right now that's about 20 minutes long, and you can hear a little bit more of my journey and my story that I did at the Energize event. I talk 20 minutes, and you only have to look up my name. It's Tamara Wallace Norman, and it's on YouTube, and it's an Energize event. And those are the ways that you can get in contact with me.
Wonderful. I hope people do reach out to you for any number of reasons, but as an inspiration and opportunity for them to help you and support you in your fight. Hey, Tamara, one thing, do you have a Twitter account? Okay, can you share your Twitter handle?
I do have a Twitter handle. I have a Twitter handle, and I also have an Instagram. And, you know, as you can see, I'm loving the concept of Laces and Wheels. So this is pretty easy. You can follow me at Laces and Wheels. That's it, at Laces and Wheels.
Okay.
And that's for Twitter, and that is for Instagram.
Should have asked you that before we even got started, but we'll make sure that's on our website so people can follow you via Twitter. Again, I want to thank you for taking time away from your family, your friends, and the Ten Commandments, which I probably missed now.
Yes.
And thank you for spending time with us. That's one of my favorite movies. Spending time with us and my family. It's been an honor and a pleasure. And I want to thank Dr. Marco Clark for making the connection with us. And this has been a wonderful conversation, one of the best ones I've had this year. And I consider you, your family, your husband, Jerron, your son, Zion, and your mom, and everyone else who care about you. God bless. And
Thank you so much, Dr. Robinson. And I thank Dr. Marco Clark as well. And I thank you so much, and you have a wonderful rest of the evening.
Yes, ma'am. You be blessed.
You too.
A great show, a wonderful show. What a perfect show to have on a perfect day, a day the Lord has made, obviously, Resurrection Sunday. This has been a wonderful conversation for us here on Prayer and Talk Live. I'm your host, Dr. Mike Robinson. I hope you continue to follow me on this channel, same time, same day. Nothing really changed. We're always here bringing you the best voices, the most important voices, the most seldom heard voices, in education, for housing, academic research, the business of education, you name it, we have it here. It's not about my voice, people. It's never about my voice. It's never about the voice of Force of the Rain production. It's about your voice, about the seldom heard voices, the voices that have solutions, recommendations, inspiration that others need to hear. We are a conduit for those voices here on Parent Talk Live, the Force of the Rain Productions, and Living Education E-Magazine. We hope you continue to follow us, continue to stay connected, continue to become one of our subscribers, followers, readers, listeners, you name it. Just connect with us, stay connected. As I always say, the end of my shows, and particularly this show is very special, I always say, God bless, peace, and love.